Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be here. Amen. You know, I was standing down there a while ago, and my heart just overflowed with love. I sure love you guys. I like hanging out with y'all. It's good to be here and good to be a part of something that God is doing. And I'm just so glad that you chose to be here with us today. This is family. We're family. We need to get that into our, we need to put that in our pipe and smoke it. We're family. We belong together, and we need to connect together. So that, you know, that's a good thing. Well, I was here last week. How many of you were here last week? Okay, less than half of us were here last week, and I'm thinking, I understand why you didn't come. If you read on Facebook how I fell and busted my, you know what, I did. I fell just as slick as a button. I mean, my driveway was slick, slick, slick. Got to the church, and it was fine. So I thought, we're having church. I've already fallen, so did anybody else fall on the way to church last week? Some of you stayed in and watched online. But we're glad that you're here today, and glad to be a part. We started our series last week called The Rhythm of Faith. And we're building this off of the statement, what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you become. And we're going back and we're looking at that. We're building our faith message off of that. And really what we're really talking about, you know, let me use just a couple of terms. Faith, worldview. Worldview is how you view the world that you live in. And it's important how you view the world that you live in, because how you view it is how you're going to live it. And that's why it's so important that we have the proper world view. And last week we talked about how we develop our thinking processes. And we went back and talked about babies. You know, babies don't think like we do. When they're first born, they don't think rationally, but they're learning to think. And they begin learning with their senses: touch, smell, taste. They learn. In fact, science tells us that during the first 3 years of a baby's life, the brain activity is probably more than it is any other time in their life. And you think, you know, you see a little baby there and they think, well, you know, they're just not too smart. Well, you don't know what's going on in the brain. In fact, science tells us that there's 700 synaptic connections that are being made every second in their brains. That's 66 billion synaptic connections that's being made in their brains in the first 3 years of their life. They're learning to deal with their world. And the environment that they're raised in can affect their brain health. It can affect their genetics even. You take a child that's raised in a dysfunctional home where there's a spirit of strife. If you don't think children, little babies, don't pick up on that atmosphere, you know, even animals pick up on those kind of atmospheres. But you know, little babies, where there's abuse, where there's yelling and screaming and fighting, and it affects their development. It affects their health. In fact, they can become predisposed towards certain diseases. There's something called toxic stress that a baby can have that will affect its health. And so they're learning to rationalize. They're learning to relate to their environment. And when they get a certain age, they start putting thoughts together, and then they start talking, and you know, so it's those days are very, very important. So we learn from the time that we're born. Now, when we get older, we learn more by hearing than we do any other thing. Hearing, and that's why we're using the premise: what you hear, or what you sense. We could say what you sense But I'm talking to older folks, so we're saying what you hear is what you see. Okay? So today we're going to talk about hearing and thoughts. Thoughts are important. And I want to make this is today's statement that I want you to think about. Faith begins from the outside to the inside. And then finds its life or its expression from the inside to the outside. A lot of times religion, and I use that in a negative terminology, religion tries to control people from the outside. What you need to do, ladies, is quit wearing makeup. Quit cutting your hair. Men, cut your hair. Cut off that mustache. Don't dip. Don't chew. Don't hang around with those that do. And they're trying to, you know, they're trying to control you from the outside. But real spirituality, real Christianity, yes, it starts on the outside by what you hear, but it affects the heart. And as we begin to have a relationship with God, it comes from the inside to the outside because it changes the heart. See, I'm sure that once you get your heart right with God, you'll cut that mustache off. No, I'm kidding. But there are things that will fall off of your life that are weights and sins and things that hinder you that will begin to fall off of your life as your relationship with God begins to grow. But it starts, faith begins from the outside to the end. I want to give you a verse. We're going to look at lots of verses today. So, you know, write these down. We gave you things to take notes on. Or maybe you brought your own things to take notes on. But write these scriptures down. Go home. Meditate on these scriptures because it's important that you get this. Romans 10:17. This is one that we quote around here all the time. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what's it talking about? Hearing. It begins out here. It begins hearing. You only know God through His Word. Now, I know that you can discover Him in His creation. But the greatest vehicle that we have to know God is through His Word. Amen. You won't know God like you should outside of His Word. This is God's gift to us. God's gift to us is His Word. And this is where faith begins. It begins by hearing the Word of God. Now, you know, it didn't say having heard. Faith comes by having heard the Word of God. There's a lot of people think, well, you know, I read the Bible one time. I've arrived. No, you hadn't. See, real Christianity is a daily walk. It's a daily thing. It's growing daily. You don't ever get to quit. You don't get to quit. You don't get to retire from being a Christian. You don't get to retire from being a follower of Christ. It's ongoing. You've got to do it every day of your life. So the ideal in hearing here is not just it entering into your ear gate. The ideal is by perception. Perceiving. So you know what? You're going to have to hear something more than one time. Some of us are slow. I'm in that group. I have to hear something before I get it more than once. I have to hear it over and over and over. There are times that when I hear something that I really haven't heard before, I'll think, okay, I want to listen to that again. I want to listen to that again. And again and again. And finally, it sinks through my lightning fast mind. But I have to hear it. I have to hear it. See, there's a lot of different ways that we think. You know, you listen to people and you know what their strongest perception is. You know, somebody will say, you know, I see that. They're more pictorial in their mind. Does anybody have trouble reading instructions and putting something together? Now, most of you women would say most men have trouble with directions. But I do. I'm thinking, okay, it says a grommet. Okay, now what's a grommet? I need to see what a grommet is. I got to have a picture. I have to see it. I had rather watch a tutorial than I had to read the instructions. Then I can say, you know, I see that. Then you hear some people say, well, you know, that sounds right. That sounds right. And then there are other people say, well, that doesn't feel right. You see, we have different ways that we interpret things. And some people see, some people feel, some people go by sound. That sounds right or that don't sound right. There's something about that just doesn't sound right. But it has to do with the makeup of our brains. But we have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, there's two important things here that I want us to see, and there's two verses. First of all, it's important what you hear. It's important what you hear. You don't need to listen to everything that's out there. Spiritually, secularly, you need to control what comes in to through your ear gates. You need to be in control of that. You have the ability to control what you hear. And because listen to this. This is in Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Jesus said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing." Be careful what you are hearing. Be choosy in what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. When we hear the right things, we meditate on the right things, we think about the right things, guess what? It increases our understanding. See, we need to be growing in our understanding. You know, I'm just thoroughly convinced that we don't 100% understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't think that we comprehend that fully. I think that there's still some things about that we can comprehend. But you know, I've heard that. And I don't hear it anymore. Be careful what you hear. It's important what you hear. Now, the second part of that is it's kind of the same verse, but this is Luke's version. He says it's important how you hear. Not only what you hear, but how you hear your hair. Luke 8:18. Be careful, therefore, how you listen. For to him who has spiritual knowledge will more be given, and from him who does not have spiritual knowledge, even what he thinks and guesses and supposes that he has will be taken away. This talks about the attitude of how we hear. How we hear. And like I said a while ago, you know, we're going to study today John 3:16. I've heard that. That probably won't speak to me today. See, you're defining how you're going to hear. God's Word is like an onion. It's got layers to it. You know, and you can read something one time and get something out of it, but you don't get 100%. You just get that layer that you can perceive and understand. There's other layers of God's love that you don't yet understand. So you need to guard how you hear. And you know what? When you neglect or you don't take serious what you're hearing, it goes away. It goes away. You don't understand as much as you think you understand. Has anybody ever seen a know-it-all? Does anybody know a know-it-all? You know, I saw a guy look right at his wife when I said that. Yes, it was. Don't be looking at your spouse. But you know, there's something about know-it-alls. They don't know as much as they think they know. They're not. In fact, most know-it-alls that I've been around are pretty shallow. Let me just give you a bit of wisdom. The best way I know to learn is to think you don't know that much. Because you know what? That's really the truth. You're not as sharp as you think you are. You may not be as dumb as you think you are, but listen, you're not as sharp sometimes as you think you are. No, we got lots of room to learn. We have not fathomed the depths and the height and the breadth and the length and of the love of God and of the gospel of God. It will unfold to us throughout eternity. And, you know, some things are just deep, but yet they're simple, but they're so, so deep. So your attitude and how you hear is very important. See, I've been a Christian since 1971. July the 10th, 1971, I became a believer. That's a long time ago. 81, 91, 2001, 2011, 44 years ago, I've been a Christian almost. I preached, I don't know how many sermons in the last 36 or 7 years that I've been a pastor. I could adopt the idea that you can't teach me anything. I know it. But you know, there's one thing that I know. I don't really know it all. I don't. And I figured that puts me in a great place that I can learn more. Hey, listen, I'm 62 years old. I know I look 35, but I'm 62 years old. I'm humble too. I want to grow as long as I live. I retire. I want to grow as long as I live. But I have to keep after me sometimes. So it's important not only what I hear, but how I hear. I want to talk a little bit about the nature of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, all scripture, say that with me, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means, that word inspiration means God breathed. Now, get a picture. Go back to Genesis. God has created the heavens and the earth, and he's filled it, and he lacks one thing. He's going to make man. So he makes man out of the dust of the ground, and there he is. Man is not alive, but there's his body. And the Bible says that God breathes into man's nostrils the breath of life. And man becomes a living soul. That's what he did with his word. He breathed his life into it. And so the word is alive. It's God breathed. And the next phrase says, and it is profitable. Well, being as inquisitive as I am, I wanted to look up that Greek word to see what that Greek word meant. You know what it means? It means profitable. That's what that word means. Profitable. Now, there's a profit and there's a what? A loss. See, there are some things that you can listen to that will profit you. There are some things that you'll listen to that'll take away value. See, you get to choose what you dwell on, what you think about, what you listen to. Is it adding value to you? If it's not adding value to you, guess what? You probably don't need to be listening to it. But God's word is profitable. It will always add value to you. That's why we need to be hearing that word of God. So it's profitable. What's it profitable for? Number one, doctrine. Now, sometimes we don't like that word doctrine, so let me give you another one. It means the same thing, truth. Truth. Can I tell you something? There is such a thing as absolute truth. A lot of our kids go to college, and some of those PhDs, you know what PhD stands for? Two things, post hole digger and piled higher and deeper. They'll tell our children that there's no such thing as absolute truth, or truth is relative. Well, you just ask them. There's no absolute truth. Is that absolutely true that there's no absolute truth? See, it's circular reasoning. It's a self-defeating statement. Is that true? Is it relatively true that truth is relative? See, that's a self-defeating. There is absolute truth. And just let me tell you where it's at. It's in the Bible. The Bible is truth. Truth that differs, or statements that differ with the Bible, are not true. That's what we believe, okay? That's what we practice. So the Word of God is profitable for truth. It will add truth to you. Then it says that it's profitable for reproof. For reproof. And the idea there is that it's going to cause you to prove what is true. It will correct and cause you to prove in your life the things that are of value and true. And then the next thing it says, for correction. Can I just tell you, we don't think right all the time? Most of us. I mean, we were born into an imperfect world. We have imperfect parents. We have imperfect knowledge. We believe some things in life, and we've experienced things through the five physical senses and come to conclusions that are just not true. We need correction. God's Word will correct us. Now, I didn't say condemn. I said correct. God's Word corrects us. It's profitable for correction. And then it says for instruction in righteousness. See, we need to be learning more about our faith. Now, why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, the end result of God-breathed, profitable for all of these things is so that you can be complete. God designed you. There are things that we all have in common. Then there are things that are unique to us. And what happens when we put that living Word in us, it equips us. It corrects us. It instructs us. It reproves us. It adds value to us, and it brings out the qualities that we all have in common as Christ followers. But it also brings out the uniqueness and equips us in life to do the things that we're called to do. And you're called to do something. You're called to be something. You're called to bring glory to God. Your life should be a reflection of Jesus Christ. And whatever it is that you do, whether it's in your profession, your vocation, your family, your personal life, your ethics, everything about you should be a reflection of God. And that's what the Word is profitable for. That's why we put such an emphasis on here about you being in the Bible. I'm fussing at you again. Because I know a bunch of you have sat there and listened to me talking about you need to read the Bible. And you say, yeah, I know I need to do that. But you hadn't planned to do that. We got plans out there on the Welcome Center. Get you a Bible plan and start reading it. If you're a brand new Christian, there's one out there for brand new Christians. Isn't that right? It'll help you. It will add value to you, and you need value. I need value. I said, I read my Bible this morning and, you know, sat there and thought about it a few minutes before I got up and started my day. It added value to me. The second verse that I want us to look at, in where it talks about the nature of the Word, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living. Living. It's God-breathed, so it's living. And the second thing, powerful. The third thing, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I know sometimes you sit there and think, Pastor, you read my mail. You talked right at me. Were you out under my window listening? Do you have some kind of way that you see into my life? No. But guess what? This Word does. It goes right to the meat of the matter. It hits you and says to you what needs to be said to your heart. It challenges your heart. It goes right down to the very thought and intent of your heart. And I'm glad that I don't know. Okay? That's not my job. My job is to put it out there. The Holy Spirit's job is to take it to where it needs to go and touch what it needs to touch and challenge what it needs to challenge and correct what it needs to correct. Your job is to listen. It's to listen. Now, I want us to look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 because it talks about the relationship of the Holy Spirit and the Word. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. They're in agreement. Now, what is, we know what the Father is, we know what the Holy Spirit is, but what is the Word? Jesus is the Word. John 1, 1 through 14, Jesus is the Word. And what does it say? That they're one, that they're always in agreement. Now, what does that mean to us? The Holy Spirit will never say anything to you that's contrary to the Word. Okay? I've told this story 100 times. It's a good story. I'll tell it again. I like to hear it. Had a lady come to me one time. She said, God told me to marry this heathen. And I thought to myself, no, he didn't. But I knew better because she's going to marry him. He had money, and she was going to marry him. She married him. Now, did the Holy Spirit tell her that? No. Why? Because it specifically tells us in His Word to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship does Christ have with the devil? I mean, it's pretty plain. She married that man because she wanted to marry that man. And they were married till he died, and I think he became a Christian, so it all worked out okay. But listen, God didn't tell her to do that. Sometimes we'll say God said because that's what we want. Okay? Let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit, God will never say anything different than what His Word says. Now, you can choose it if you want to, but don't blame it on God. Because I've had people say stuff like that and it blows up. Well, I don't know why God told me. God didn't tell you. That's why. You wanted that hairy-legged heathen. Okay. Anyway. Hey, we just tell it like it is here, okay? I want to talk about the initial work of the Holy Spirit in the Word. Because they're always in agreement. This is good for new believers. This is good for us who have been believers for a long time. It's Romans 8, 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's important that we know that. Even though that's a very simple truth that we take for granted. But listen, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is a bearing witness between your spirit and His Spirit that you are a child of God. Because listen, sometimes the Lord will deal with you and you don't like the way that He's dealing with you. And the devil comes along and says, you know, if He's really a Christian, you wouldn't act that way. He's the accuser. God's not the accuser. See, the Holy Spirit in the believer's life bears witness. I'm His and He's mine. I may be disobedient right now and His Spirit may be dealing with me and I may be uncomfortable and I may be under conviction. But listen, there's still that bearing witness in my heart that I'm His child. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me tell you, you can know that you're saved. You can know that you know that you know that you're saved. I'm preaching like a Baptist now. Never been Baptist, though. But I might be someday. Who knows? I have to pick on Roberta a little bit. So the initial work of the Holy Spirit is to let you know that you belong to Him. But there is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to be aware of what He's doing. Now, there's things that He does that we need to cooperate with. See, 1 Corinthians 3:9 shows us a picture of this. For we are partners working together for God, and you are God's field. You are also God's building. God is building your life. You are a garden. What do you do with a garden? You plant it, don't you? You put seed in it. Well, what's the seed that we have to put in our garden to get it to grow? It's the Word of God. You know, Mark tells us about the sower sowing the seed and how that's the Word of God, and that the grounds are different kinds of hearts that it's sown into and the kind of harvest that it produces. But it depends on what you hear and how you hear to the degree of the harvest that it produces. So there is a relationship, there's a fellowship that goes on between you and God and you and the Holy Spirit as He continues this work of grace in your life. And so I want us to see some things here, because there is His part, there's our part. John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow them." So what's His part? He speaks. What's our part? We follow. He speaks. We follow. I'm glad He didn't call us donkeys. Because what do donkeys do? Sometimes sheep don't. But He used sheep. "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow what I'm saying." Another verse, Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to Me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." What will He do? He will answer and He will show. What do we need to do? We need to call. See, God wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to call out to Him. He wants you asking Him questions. You know what He said He would do? He said He would answer you, and He would show you great and mighty things that you don't know not. And can I just tell you, there's great and mighty things that you do not know. And I'll put B in there too. There's great and mighty things that I don't know. So I need to call. This is the ongoing work of grace. This is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. The problem is, a lot of times we just ignore God. And that's a shame. John 16:13. "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." So what does He do? He guides. What do? We listen. He guides, we listen. He guides. How many of you know God don't need your counsel? Have you ever tried to tell God how He ought to do it? We're pretty good at that, aren't we? The problem is that we're oftentimes come from a very selfish perspective. How many of you know, He who knows eternity, He who has all knowledge and can see the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, He don't need your advice. He guides, He speaks, He shows and tells us things to come. We ought to be smart enough to listen. James chapter 1. We got three more verses. "So then, my beloved brethren," this is talking to Christians, "let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Isn't it amazing how we get that backwards? We're quick to speak, quick to wrath, and slow to hear. But it says, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore," here's our part, "lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness." Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be God's counselor. Humble yourself. "Receive with meekness the implanted word." What is the implanted word? That's the word that you hear and meditate and think about. It says it is able to do what? To save your souls. Now notice who he was talking to. He wasn't talking to unbelievers here. He was talking to believers. Do believers need to have their souls saved? Yes, absolutely. See, let me just tell you something. This is going to sound like heresy till I explain it. You have been saved, you are being saved, and you shall be saved. When you get born again, your spirit is born again. It's saved. You're ready to go to heaven. You are being saved. Your mind is being renewed. Your mind, your will, and emotions are being renewed as you spend time in the Word of God. It's changing the way that you think. You shall be saved. One of these days, you're going to have a brand new body. And you're going to like it. It's going to be young and skinny and good looking. No gray hair, no bald heads, Kevin. Hallelujah. It's going to be great. We have been saved. We shall be saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. Past, present, future. So this says that the implanted word is able to save your soul, renew your minds, change the way that you think, change the way that you feel, perceive. But you be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now there's a lot of folks who come to church and hear the word. My question is, how many go out and do it? A lot of times people hear it and don't do it and forget it. And this has a picture of that here. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The best way to be deceived is to hear the word and do nothing with it. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But look at this. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. See, he not only hears the word, he thinks about it. He puts it on the inside. He lets the word work in his heart. And he begins to do it. He hears it, sees it, says it, does it. And guess what? He becomes it. The word, can I just say the word made flesh? The word made flesh in your life? He's blessed in what he does. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. See, this talks about our attitude towards what we hear. We need to give heed to it. I've seen people, Christians, maybe some of you sitting here, I'm not judging you. You just judge yourself. They're like this. They're up and down, up and down, up and down. Always having to rededicate. Always having to rededicate. What's the problem? It's what you're not consistently doing. It's what you're neglecting. And you know what? We let it slip. We drift away from it, so we keep having to come back to it. Now, thank God we can do that. But really, that's not a good way to live. We ought to be progressing in the things of God. We ought to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, the Bible says grace and knowledge be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Christ. The more you know Him, the more you know about Him, the more you're going to become like Him, the more your life is going to be fruitful. So we don't need to neglect what we've heard. And I love Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This is a picture. This is a letter that was written to one of the seven churches. And Jesus says to this church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." What is he doing? He's knocking. You know, he's always knocking at our doors. He'll knock, knock. And we'll say, Jesus, I just don't have time today. You know, I worked 12 hours today. I need to go home and rest and watch a little TV and kick back. I need to go fishing. I need to go hunting. I need to go shopping. They're going to leave you ladies out. I got this to do. The kids are, you know, we got ball games. We got this. And Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, it's not enough just to hear his voice and open the door. See, he doesn't force you to have a relationship with him, to have fellowship with him. He's not going to come where he's not invited. He's not going to be where he's not welcome. He's just not. He's not a slave driver. He's a lover. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I'll sup with him. I'll have supper with you. We'll have a relationship. It'll be two-way. And that's what he wants. He wants to spend time with you. But you have to want to spend time with him. I love that old song. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. I love the line, and he walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That describes a lifestyle where we welcome him because we want to hear him. We want to know him. We want to experience him. Wow. I done preached myself happy. Praise God. Glory. Let's stand together. We're going to worship. This message is really not to unbelievers, although it could be. If you don't know him, you can know him today. But this message is to you believers, followers. You know, what's been your attitude about hearing? What do you need to do? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today that you need to take care of? Ashley's going to sing a couple of oldies. Same ones? Okay, good. Same ones. And I just want you to allow him. He's knocking today. So just open the door. And as we worship, let him come in and commune with you. Worship him. And let him do the work in your life. Let it begin today if you need to. If you need to come back to something, open that door for him to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.